We are going to continue into our study. So our study this day is a continuation. We have this sermon, and next Sunday will be my last sermon on living victoriously. How many of you have gained something from this sermon series? Well, a couple of you have. Well, that's cool. Hopefully you'll keep me on. As we look at this living victorious, that's what you call a confession of whatever. Anyhow, the reality is we're going to look at just what it means to choose life and live. Because so many times we don't choose life. We actually choose death. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something. We don't choose it purposefully in many cases. Because of who we are and what we are, let me fix that. Because of who we were and what we were outside of Christ, we carry with us baggage. Does anybody here carry baggage? I think it's funny because our world does not carry baggage. If you ask them if they carry baggage, oh no, there's nothing wrong with them. They're good people. But we as Christians, no, we carry baggage. We carry the brokenness that was our former lives, amen? And it has weight upon us. But what we need to remember is Jesus unloaded that on the cross of Calvary. So today we're going to talk about that very reality and what it means to live victoriously, choosing life and living. So open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians. In this, our study, we're going to be in Galatians 2. We're going to be in verses 17 through 21. And then we're going to end in the book of John, which is the gospel, because Jesus has a word here for us also. Now, we know Jesus is the word, so everything that we're learning here is the word of life, the word of Christ to us. So what we need to do is apportion this to ourselves. Now we're going to begin here in the 17th verse, as it tells you here in your bulletin, verses 17 through 21 from the second chapter of the book of Galatians. So I'm going to start and then I'm going to come back because I need to fill in a little bit as to where we are, what's happening, and then you'll understand what's going on and why I've chosen these scriptures this day. From verse 17, "But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor." When we read that scripture, that can get a little bloppity in the brain, kind of like, what did he just say? And then we go back and we read it again, and it doesn't make any more sense the second time around than it did the first time around. Because sometimes when the writers of the scriptures speak to us, they're writing on a different level than where we are today. Have you ever been there where, you know, it just is not making sense today? It is not getting in because I just can't wrap my brain around it. Well, let me help you and let me help me, because, you know, in order for me to understand the word, I have to come under the word, right, Mitch? And as a pastor, that's one of the greatest aspects. You know, I tell everybody, if you're going to preach a word, you better live the word. Because if you can't live the word, don't be preaching it. And this is where I find myself. And this is why I can preach this, because I understand this. I have come under this. Paul here is actually talking about his rebuke of Peter. Okay? Peter had been with a bunch of Jewish people, and he was in a Gentile area. All right, he was not in Jerusalem. He was outside of Jerusalem on one of his missionary journeys. And while he was there, he was living with, being with the Jewish people in the area, because that's what they would do. They would go to an area and they would find the synagogue. Now, if there was no physical building in the community where they were living that was a synagogue, if there was not a building built as a synagogue, according to the law, the first stream that crosses the road leading into the town on the left-hand side of that stream, I know this is weird, but this is the law, that's where the synagogue would meet. That's where the Jewish people would go, and that intersection of the first creek, living water, moving water, and the road of life, that's where they would meet. That would be their synagogue. So Peter would go out to the synagogue and he would preach to Jews. He would also mingle with the Jews back at home when they were in the town. He would meet with them. And when he met with them, because these are Jewish people and he wanted to be pleasing to them, he began to revert back to the laws of Judaism rather than promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're talking about food things here. You know, you're not allowed to eat with Gentiles. You know, you have to wash. You have to, all these different regulations and rules that the Jewish people put on. And Paul rebuked him and said, hey, get thee behind me. All right? He didn't actually say that. Peter said that at another place. But he was rebuking him and telling him, you know, hey, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus has set us free. Why are you bringing back these burdens again that nobody can live up to? And all of a sudden, Peter realized what he was doing. And that's what's going on here. Paul is addressing Peter's actions. And he's saying to us, here's Peter. He's seeking to show that he's justified, that he's in Christ, but yet he falls back to the things that he used to do. Eka, eka, eka. Did you hear the crickets in the background? Is that where you and I find ourselves? Because we want to show ourselves justified. We want to show ourselves pure. We want to show ourselves that Christ has changed our lives. But yet, that stupid stuff that's back there, and how many of us find ourselves living in a world that constantly calls us back? I don't know about you, but buddy, my world calls me back all the time. All I have to do is walk out my front door. I don't even have to walk out my front door. All I have to do is wake up in the morning. And my world, this world that we have created, that mankind has created, okay, calls us to it. Wants us to play the game. How many of you, the first thing in the morning, you get up and you turn on the TV and you watch the Today Show, or turn on the radio and you're listening to some programming or whatever? You know, I think it's funny because I get in anybody's car, the first thing that happens when they turn on the key, the radio's on. When I turn on my truck, dead silent. I don't need the world interrupting. It does it on its own. I don't need to add to it. And here is what Paul is speaking about, because we need to remember that this world is going to call us hard enough as it is, but we have to stop building it up. Let's read this again, and this time, Pastor's going to explain it. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also have been found sinners, you and I know that we have been bought with a price. Amen? Each and every one of us out there who is in Christ Jesus knows that we have been bought with a price. And we are trying as best we can to walk that walk. Not just talk the talk, but to walk that walk. But while we do, we also find out that we are yet sinners saved by grace. You see, that's the difference between us and the world. We see our sin. The world doesn't. The world doesn't catch it. So they just continue on, and they look at it, and they say, but I'm a good person. We look at it and say, oh, miserable wretch that I am. Because even though we know Christ paid a price for us, and we try not to sin, we find ourselves there, don't we? So here's what Paul says. we ourselves have also been found sinners. All right? Is Christ then a minister of sin? So in other words, is Christ bringing us to that place of sinning? Even though, you know, when the world looks at us, when the people who are outside of Christ look at us and they see us mess up, who do they blame for it? Do they blame us or do they blame Christ? Well, I hate to tell you this, they do blame Christ, because they will look at you, and I've had this happen to me already, where someone would look at me and they would say, oh, and you call yourself a Christian? And it's like, whoa, yeah, I do call myself a Christian, but please remember, I'm not Christ. I'm a work in... You and I need to remember that reality, and we need to portray it to our world. Our world needs to see that we are a work in... Because if we are simply a work of what? Okay? Our world is a work. But we are a work in progress unto Christ-likeness. Amen? And that's what Paul is talking about here, because he says, for if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, in other words, you and I have destroyed sin in our lives because we are now dead in Christ. We have been buried with him in baptism and raised to life. We have destroyed the hold that sin has on us. Okay? And we are now alive in Christ. So we are to choose life at every step. We are to choose life at every step. Please say that with me. We are to choose life at every step. This is what I'm talking about. In order to live victoriously, we need to remember, we say it all the time, we are sinners saved by grace. Which means we need to afford grace to everyone around us, including ourselves, but not to allow grace to become the great cover-all, catch-all, right? There's a line there. There's a balance there. You and I are going to falter. And when we do, that's one of the reasons why I think it's so important. When we mess up, if you mess up in front of non-Christians, stop right there and apologize to those people. Tell them you just messed up. Please forgive me. And then pray with them. Even if they don't want to pray, just pray. Right then and there. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you will have built more into the kingdom by doing that than by trying to explain your position. Because you're showing them your position. Does that make sense, Mitch? That makes sense? Good. Good. Does that make sense to everybody else? Why don't we do it? Isn't it funny? We can be here on Sunday and we can say, wow, yeah, Pastor, that's good. But Monday through Saturday, what do? Don't beat yourselves up. I'm not beating you up either. I'm going to give you the love and grace of God, because I need it every day. You need it every day, all right? But let us remember, we have to choose life at every moment. Every opportunity that sets before us, because we will prove ourselves to be what? Sinners saved by grace. Because it is through that grace that others understand where they are and where they can be. Please believe me when I say this. I'm not giving you a license to sin, all right? But when you do mess up, use it as the opportunity to open the door to heaven to somebody else who doesn't understand that reality. For this is what Paul says. Let's read on from verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. In other words, Paul understands that the law condemned him to death. You understand that, right? The law condemns us all to death. None of us can live in the law. So, from verse 20, therefore I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Brothers and sisters, when you and I read that, I want you to read that. Let's read it one more time, and let's speak it together, all right? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We were born into law. Do you understand that? Even though we are Gentiles, we were born into law. How do I know that? What do you mean, Pastor? How many of you, when you were born, were a sinner? Every hand goes in the air. From the moment we are born, we are under the curse of the law. Thank you, great, 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 grandma and grandpa, Adam and Eve. Right? We don't have a choice. We are born dead. Dead to God. We are born dead. We will see hell. That's not a choice. You and I don't get to make that choice. We don't get to choose death. Death was chosen for us, and we simply amplify it from, edify it, amplify it, whatever you want to call it, from the moment we are born. Now, there are those, and this is funny because I taught this a long time ago during a convocation for the Evangelical Association when I was speaking about baptism. And this one lady put her hand in the air and she said, you mean to tell me that a baby that's born is going to go to hell? I said, yes. I don't believe that. She said, God's grace. I said, whoa. I didn't say anything about God's grace. What I said was, every human being that's born on the planet of Earth is born into death. I said, do you disagree with that? Well, no. I said, okay, are babies born into this world? Yes, they are. Now, my theology tells me, because of Christ and his words and his actions, that babies have a special covering. Children have a special covering. When does that covering end, Mitch?
When you accept Christ as your Savior.
When you accept Christ as your Savior. Actually, for most of us, that covering ends at the age of accountability. Right? And when is that? Does anybody know when that is? Can somebody tell me the moment that that is? Nobody can. Because for each and every individual, it's different. Okay? We know that for Jesus, that was the age of 12. Do you really think he was 12 before he realized who he was? No. That's just when the Jewish people did it. That was his bar mitzvah. When he went to Jerusalem and he was at the temple and he went in and he did his thing there and mom and dad left and 3 days later they came back and found him there teaching, okay? That was his bar mitzvah. That was when Jesus became a man according to Jewish tradition and law, okay? For us today, because we're no longer under law, we're under grace, it happens to us, it happens to our children at a different time. All right. Some children are 5 and 6 years old when they understand who Jesus is and they accept him into their lives. Guess what? They're now in the kingdom. And that's where Mitch's answer is 100% correct. Ding, 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 ding. Because from that moment forward, you're a Christian. A work in progress. Now, is a 5-year-old going to be able to stand pretty long, Mitch? No, they're not, are they? They're going to screw up every time they turn around. I mean, Miss Eva's over here chuckling. Yeah, 5-year-old. Oh, my goodness. How about a 15-year-old, Miss Eva? We all understand. We all know. We've all been there, right? So here's what we need to remember. We cannot choose death. Death was chosen for us. But you and I can choose life, and that's what this word is telling us. The life I live, I do not live in myself, but I live in faith through Jesus Christ who saved me. Can I get an amen? We have to choose life every morning, every time we get up. And then as the situations of life keep rolling at us, we need to choose life every moment something comes. We need to be people of reason. We should never be people of reaction. The only time we should react is in an emergency situation. I want to ask you something. How many things in your life are truly emergency situations? Most of us have built ourselves to the point where something's going to happen. Can I get an amen? I think it's funny. When we are behind the wheel of a car, how many emergency situations do we find ourselves in? I hate to say it, on the roads today, a whole lot more than we used to. Amen. But on the road of life, we often take the turns and the twists that get us into where we are, don't we? And then we look around and say, oh, how'd I get here? You took the roads. You built the road map. You knew where you were going. You knew where you were headed. Don't stand there like, oh. You knew how to get there? Guess what? You also know how to get out. Choose life. In the midst of it all, choose life. Now, is it going to be that easy on you? Is it going to be that easy? Are you going to be able to do that at every step? How much does peer pressure weigh? Brother Bob, how much does peer pressure weigh on a man?
A lot.
A lot. Oh, my. Sister Shy, how much does peer pressure weigh on a woman?
A lot.
I think it's funny, if we ask our kids, it's a lot. You know, I can remember when I was a child. And I spoke as a child. And I acted as a child. I didn't have the pressures these kids have today. I didn't have Facebook with 900 people that I don't know commenting on my life. It was bad enough for the 10 people that I did know. The pressures today are exaggerated so far beyond reality. And we need to be able to bring our children back to that place of understanding. Those folks really aren't part of your world. That's actually part of Satan's world trying to come into your world. And that's where we need to live. That's where we need to allow our children to live. And that's where we ourselves need to live, is in the reality of where we are and who we call ourselves. Above the door in my house, the front door going out, there's a sign, and I've kept it there, and it will stay there until the day I die, and it says, remember who you are, Christian. So every time I go out that front door, I have to see that sign. The implication is, every time I go out into the world, I need to remember who everybody else sees me as too, because believe me, they do see you as a Christian. Let them see you choosing life. And when you screw up, don't be afraid to admit it. Ask for forgiveness and choose life again. Can I get an amen? Because Jesus has something to tell us. Well, let's finish this. Verse 20. It says, I do not nullify the grace of God. Oh, I love that comment. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. You and I understand that the price Christ paid is what separates us from the world. You and I understand that we cannot continue sinning and claim that grace every time we sin. We have to change. Is there an amen in the books on that one? We must change. We want to change. How many of you here want to change? That's the reality. That's what happens to us. Because Jesus, and this is where we get to the book of John. You can start turning there. The book of John, we're going to be in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Because this is where what Christ said to us way back then comes into play. Because Jesus did not want us to stay where we were. Jesus wanted us to understand that His grace affords us something. His grace gives us something so much greater. And when we walk in that grace day by day and choose life at every moment, we will live victoriously. And in living victoriously, He has a gift for us. He has a wonderful, wonderful gift for us from the book of John. I'm standing there talking and I'm not turning. From the book of John in chapter 10. Beginning in verse 9 and 10, he says this. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, that alone is a wonderful thing. Because here Jesus is saying, no matter what you do, whether you're in the house with me or you're out there in the world, you are going to find what I have in store for you. That's finding pasture, okay? That's God's goodness in our lives. How many of you want God's goodness in your life? Whether you're coming in or going out, you want God's goodness in your life. The only way we can do that is to choose Christ, choose life. And here's where we get the and live portion from verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who's the thief, people? The evil one, our own evil in our lives. We can't blame it all on Satan because I don't know about you, but he's not in my house every moment of every day. He's not omniscient, okay? He's not omnipotent, and he's not omnipresent, all right? He doesn't know it all. He's not all-powerful, and he's not always there. Jesus Christ is. I want to blame it all on Satan, but the reality is I'm the one who's there, and sometimes I'm that thief. Okay, the old nature coming up in me. Sometimes it is Satan. Sometimes it's his minions who are plaguing me that day. And believe me, they do that. You know, everybody says we have a guardian angel, right? Well, if we have a guardian angel, you also have a discarding spirit trying to take you out as well. Because Satan mimics everything God does. Please understand that. So if you're going to claim the one, you better be willing to claim the other. You know, we all know those little cartoons where the little devil would pop up on one shoulder and the angel on the other, and we all thought they were funny. We didn't realize just how true they were. Because it's there, pulling at us all the time. However, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Brothers and sisters, how many of you want to have abundant life? Oh, I know I do. What does abundant life mean? That means choosing life at every second, every moment. Choosing to give your life to Christ. Choosing to be His vessel. Choosing to allow Him to work in your life. To see Him in every situation. I'm going to give you an example because it's this easy, all right? This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go fishing with two of my brothers. I went with Brother Chuck, and he's at work right now. And I went with Brother Wayne. We went out on the river. We took Old Yeller, my new big yellow boat, took it out there. We were having a wonderful time. Boat wasn't working properly. You know, wind was blowing. Boat was going all over the place. Typical boating thing, you know, just the stuff you deal with. We were having a good time. Didn't catch but one fish, and Brother Wayne caught that. We were out there all night long, just drowning bait. Sucked. No, it was awesome. The sky was clear. There were some clouds went over, you know, but the clouds would part and the stars were out. And we're talking and we're talking and we're talking. Dear God, I thought I was with two women. Do you see the conversation going on over here right now? It was great. We were fellowshipping. We were building that relationship for months and months and months. The three of us hadn't been together for such a long time. And the planets aligned, you know, the stars collided, whatever. God said, go. And we went. It was windy. The water was warm, 81 degrees. We didn't catch a fish. Well, Wayne caught one. And it was a nice one, too, about a 9-pounder. At 1:30 in the morning. But what we did catch was the heart of Christ towards each other. We got to invest in each other, listen to each other, care about each other, build the fellowship, build the faith. And while we were there, not catching anything, I kept repeating this. Remember, Pastor uses his passions to bring others, you know, many of you are part of that, into my world. So you get to see God the way I see God. And we're sitting out there, and I said, oh, this is just so beautiful. I said, I don't care if we don't catch a fish. I don't care if we don't catch a fish, because we're here. God's here. This is where he wants us to be. That's choosing life and having it abundantly. Does that mean we're going to catch, you know, but Jesus caught 153 fish in his net. Why didn't he give us more than one? Because the reality is he wants us to see it from a spiritual sense. He wants us to see it from the heart. That it's not about the end game. It's about the play and where you are now. What are you going to do with the now? Are you going to waste it? Or in it, are you going to see God and choose him and choose to allow others to see God? You and I are the Christians in many of our groups. When we're there, do we point out God as we see him? Do we show others the way to righteousness? Do we show others the hope that we have in the midst of not catching any fish? In the midst of not having your dreams fulfilled? Do you still glorify God? You know, I don't know about you guys, but I go hunting a lot. I take many of you fellas hunting. How many of you have ever gotten anything up at my camp? Brother Ryan can raise his hand. He's greedy. He's killing everything. But for me, yeah, for many of us, we got to keep our hands down. So why do we keep going back? For the fellowship. And when we're there, how much do we share? When we're out here in this world, we need to understand that abundant life doesn't mean getting everything that we want. It means giving all that we are to Christ and then allowing him to give himself through us to other people. And then we'll experience life. Because that's choosing life at every turn. No matter what this world holds for us. Brothers and sisters, this place is not our home. This is temporary. We're going to be in eternity with Christ where nothing will compare to the riches and the glory that you and I will see and receive. We have got to choose to live life and live it abundantly. Living it unto Christ. Pointing him out. Showing the world that he is real. And just how much he changes our spirits. Because I'll guarantee you, 20 years ago, if I'd have been sitting out in that boat till 2:30 in the flipping morning and not catching anything, I would not have been a happy camper. I had the time of my life with two brothers. What makes the difference? Choosing Christ. Choosing Christ. Choose life. And live. Live it to the full. Don't let your sins stop you. I'll tell you right now, this message has hit home because right now there's a lot of hearts looking at me. We got a thing to do, don't we, folks? We can't let this world keep us down. You and I have the secret. You know, this is the fountain of youth. Because I don't know whether you know it or not, but let me tell you a secret. You will live forever. If you choose life, you will live forever, even though you stumble and fall. Choose life and live. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, I thank you so much for these wonderful, wonderful people. And I thank you that each one of us realizes that we're a mess and that we got a lot of work to do. But Lord God, you've given us that ability through your life, that as we choose you, we can live life abundantly. That doesn't mean to our pleasure, to our will, but to yours. Because Father, we can't choose death because that was chosen for us. But we can choose life. So may it be now, may it be forever, in the name of Christ Jesus. And the church says, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.